Amen. All right. Yes, I should point out that we do also, besides tithes and offerings, we support two missionaries. I think last time I said three missionaries. Uruguay, the Paulicians in Uruguay, and the fairs in Nipawin, Saskatchewan. All right. And we had been supporting a church in Tabor. Is that correct? Tabor. Yeah.
Yeah. Calvary Baptist.
Oh. You ladies from Tabor?
Yeah.
Oh. Then you know that, you know those folks?
Yeah.
Oh. What a blessing. They contacted us and said, thank you for your support in the past, and we are now self-supporting and supporting other works, and so you can redirect your support elsewhere. And so that was quite admirable of that church. And we okay, I hadn't made the connection. Very good. So, yes, turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll just read the one verse, verse 29, and then we'll turn over to chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. But yeah, if you're able to stand with me, please stand. Hebrews chapter 11, first reading. Verse 29, by faith they, and it's talking about the people of God, it's referenced there in verse 25, the people of God, that's Israel, passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, saying to do, were drowned. And then over the page to chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. God add his rich blessing to the reading of his holy word. Please remain standing for prayer. Dear God, we just pray that thou would direct my thoughts and words that they'd be pleasing to thee, and all of our thoughts here that we focus on thee, and all praise to thee. And we just pray that we'd also be edified by thy word, and that we can be fruitful in our lives and ministry here on this earth while we have time. And so we thank thee for all thy goodness and care for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. So yes, we are encompassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses in chapter 11. All these witnesses that in the past I've been, you know, when I was a child, these were called the great heroes of the faith, and I wanted to be a hero of the faith. I wasn't even a Christian at the time, but wanted to be a hero of the faith. And thank God he was able to reach down to my heart, help me to understand that it's not what I can do for God that counts. It's what God did for me through Jesus Christ on the cross. And so if that's your situation right now where you're thinking, well, I'm going to be a hero for God, change your thinking. Recognize that the Lord Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords. And all glory to him. And that it's all about Jesus Christ, who for the joy, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And it just behooves us as believers in Jesus Christ, if you've trusted Jesus Christ for salvation, no matter, I trusted Christ for salvation when I was 7. I was amazed at how God could reach into my heart, having I had memorized verses and I knew the doctrine so well, but I was lost. I was not born again. And thank God he was God is able to reach just with that verse. Jesus saying to Nicodemus, "Art thou a master in Israel and knowest not these things?" I go, what does he not know? Is it something? Is there something I don't know? And sure enough, it was. It's all about Jesus. He's the one that is all that matters. Not what we can do for God, what He has done for us. And if you can, accept that, you can take that as a free gift. There's no strings attached. And after you're saved, there's no way you can keep your salvation. Only Jesus Christ can keep it for you. Because we are... What's the difference between a saved person and a lost person? A lost person is a sinner that's lost. A saved person is a sinner that's saved by grace. We still, unfortunately, sin and... just a reminder that First John chapter 1 telling us if we say we have no sin, the truth is not in us. It's talking to Christians here. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Jesus Christ is the one who is advocating on our behalf at all times. And so that's just a small introduction to what happened to Moses. Well, first off, you know, we see our verse for the week here. We've had this before, Revelation 15. So we covered Revelation 15 on the first part of this series here. And Revelation 15, verse 3, and they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God. These are folks who had, let's just read that in chapter 15 of Revelation. And I saw, as it were, verse 2, I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And verse 3, they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of Saints. Now, we've gone through a lot of stuff in the last 5 years. And one of these items is, I didn't recognize how prevalent it was among people who call themselves Christians, but there are people who call themselves Christians who say that Israel is no longer a nation, that the church is the new Israel, and Israel has no right to exist as a nation. Well, we don't read that. Israel has not been given all the promises yet that it has been promised in the Old Testament. And certainly in Revelation here makes it very clear that the point of the tribulation is not for the church. The point of the tribulation is for Israel. And that's true. As a nation, Israel is far from God. And the point of the tribulation, they are going to be making a deal with the Antichrist as a nation. And it's going to be peace. They're going to believe. It's going to be all peace and everything. Then, when Jesus points out in Matthew chapter 25, verse 15, that when... Is it 25 or is it 24? 24, I think. Matthew... I think I know it, right? 24:15. So, yes, as Jesus said... Therefore, when you see, remember, Jesus is talking, like at this point, he's talking in the Old Testament, because the Old Testament continues on until he rose from the dead. So he's talking in terms of the Old Testament. He's talking to the children of Israel. Remember, he said, I've come to the house of, his ministry was the house of Israel. And so When ye therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whosoever readeth, let him understand. So when the abomination of desolation is standing in the holy place, then that's when Israel, during the tribulation period, will recognize we've been double-crossed. And we've been deceived into believing that we could make a deal for peace with the world. By then, I mean, already the church has been raptured before the seven-year period. And now, nation of Israel is going to go through some very difficult times during that seven-year tribulation period. And one-third of them, we believe, are going to trust Christ for salvation. And so here they have not taken the mark of the beast in their forehead or in their hand, right hand. And here they are singing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Now, some would say that, and we've covered this before, I'm just trying to repeat for some of you who have not been here, that some just take it, well, it's Exodus chapter 15 is the song of the Lamb, because that's a song of victory. The horse and the rider has he thrown into the sea. It's a song of triumph, Exodus chapter 15. A song of triumph that God had rescued the nation of Israel from their bondage in Egypt and set them free by helping them deliver, having them cross the Red Sea on dry land and yet drowning the nation, army of Pharaoh in the Red Sea. And so the Lord hath triumphed gloriously Exodus 15, verse 1, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He hath become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. And so the song of triumph and of victory. Now, it was sung by Moses and the children of Israel, but Deuteronomy 32, it was Moses singing Deuteronomy 32, because it's not a song so much of triumph. It's a song of prophecy that Israel will, number one, be set aside for a time, and a prophecy that they will go through some very difficult times. And so if we just carry on last time, so 6 points, and we just covered three last time. The first point we looked at verse, and so we're in Deuteronomy chapter 32, is this other song of Moses, which he sang because sadfully, woefully, he said, you will be going into idolatry when you come into the land. He was kept from going into the land because, remember, he struck the rock. Now, the first time he was correctly to strike the rock, which he did. The second time he was just supposed to speak to the rock, but he didn't. He struck the rock. And so now God said, well, because of that disobedience, you're not going to be able to go into that the promised land, Canaan, albeit he's still a saved man, and a good picture to us of, as believers, we sin, but the Holy Spirit is living in us, and we grieve the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit tells us, well, we have to make that right, and whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And so that is with every believer. If you have something, now the thing is, as a good parent, he's not correcting you on everything, because like we are, as you get more mature in your Christian life, you recognize, oh my, things that I didn't realize were an affront to God, a sin, they are, it is. And so God is patient and loving. He doesn't, you know, what do the parents do? They don't come down on their children like bang, and they have to know everything. They deal with one thing at a time, or, you know, maybe a couple of things at a time. But certainly one thing at a time, and the Lord will deal it. He might be dealing with you in your heart right now about something that you know you've done wrong and need to be corrected. And bless God, in the message on the short message on Wednesday during the business meeting, before the business meeting, the Lord convicted me of something and I was able to make correction there. And bless God. I mean, if God is dealing with you in something in your life that you need to deal with it. Because how are you going to get beyond that? God loves you. If you're a child of His, He's chasing you because giving you a licking because He loves you. So don't be despising that. And we don't. Believers don't despise it. They just thank God that He cares enough for us that He corrects us along the way. And even at that, when you do that, don't just like tote the horn, well, now I'm perfect. There was a pastor in this town that was witnessing to me that told me that I could be perfect like him. they call it a second blessing. Well, there is no second blessing, be assured, in this life. We will not be sinless until we meet the Lord face to face. And then we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. All right, that cleared out of the way. What happened last time, we were able to look at 3 points here. The first point, heaven and earth are summoned. This is in Deuteronomy chapter 32. Heaven and earth are summoned by Moses in this song to be a witness to the fact that the Word of God is this... that the Lord, Jehovah, he's calling heaven and earth to be a witness to the fact that, verse 2, my doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as a small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. So just as this rain is falling and just we really appreciate it, so does the doctrine of God fall upon us. And so He has got some difficult things here to say to the children of Israel, knowing what they're going to do in the future, going to go into idolatry. And so that's the first point, that He's calling heaven and earth to be witness. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. So we find a similar appeal in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 2. Second point, so that's earth and heaven and earth are summoned to the first point. The second point, the faithfulness of Jehovah and the faithlessness of His people. And that was verses 4 through 6. He is the rock, His work is perfect, all His ways are judgment, a God of truth, without iniquity, just and right is He. Now, verse 5, they have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of His children. They are perverse and crooked generation. Do ye thus requite the Lord? O foolish people and unwise, is not He thy Father that hath bought thee? Hath He not made thee and established thee? And so, we covered that point that... verse 5, they have corrupted themselves, and certainly in the time of Jesus, when Jesus was here, Jesus said to the Pharisees, ye are of your father the devil. Now, there were true Jews at the time. I mean, we love to hear what Simeon had to say. Simeon was waiting for the consolation, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ came, and he just saw that that baby was going to be there for the rise and fall of many in Israel, and he had a prophecy for Mary, and Anna also prophesied. So many Jews in Israel were prepared and ready for the Lord to come, but many were not. And they were in a very dark place where, right, I mean, their leaders went and called for, and as the Lord says in the scriptures, crucified the Lord of glory. And So a very dark time in Israel's time, and so they were set aside for the church age. And yet not, because God is true to his promise. Realize that when set aside in the Old Testament is talking about divorce. So the Lord Jesus, God, Jehovah, it's the Lord in the Old Testament is Jehovah, the Lord Jesus Christ, pre-incarnate. When he set aside Israel, that's a divorcement, a writ of divorcement for Israel. But a writ of divorcement is not annulment. Divorcement does not get rid of a marriage. Now, it might in legal terms here, I'm not sure if it does, I guess maybe in legal terms it does in the world today, but it doesn't according to the scripture. What it does is it relieves you of your responsibilities to that spouse. You're still married until there's a death of one of the contractors. You've contracted an agreement, and yet one cannot fulfill that, so there's a divorcement. And so the writ of divorcement with Israel is not an annulment. And what God hath put joined together, let no man put asunder. But sometimes a writ of a divorcement is there to protect one of the individuals, or one of the individuals cannot fulfill their responsibility. And so here, with Israel going off as a corrupt and crooked generation, God could not fulfill the end of his contract that depended on their response, correct response. However, as it is with the believer in Christ, he is not totally, you don't lose your salvation. And so if Israel as a nation is a picture of the individual believer, which I believe it is, and we'll just go to there right now, 1 Corinthians 10. If Israel as a nation is an example of what the individual believer is, God is not going to forsake that nation of Israel. So too, he will not forsake you as a believer, even though you're being rebellious. Today, you might even be rebellious as we speak. And you're a believer. You know you're a believer. You've trusted Christ for salvation. And yet you're not following what you know that he wants you to deal with. Be assured that he will chasten you. If you claim to be a believer and you're not being chastened for the sin that you're committing, well, you better question, are you really a believer or not? Have you trusted Christ for salvation, or are you just playing church? Thinking that you're just, I'm a good person, I'm just as good as anybody else. No. Salvation is where you recognize you're a lost sinner. It's hopeless. You're a lost sinner. You repent. You turn from that direction you're going, and repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. So if that, in fact, you are, the nation of Israel is not completely rejected by God. It is coming back, and God will purify it of the wicked in their midst. And so too in your life, I believe it's an illustration of how God is cleaning up your life bit by bit. And you're becoming mature in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 and following, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. That's referring to Israel coming through the Red Sea. Verse 2, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat of the same spiritual meat, and did all drink of the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Clearly telling us that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for in samples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of this world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. And I think that is appealing to the individual believer in Christ, to recognize that everyone is tempted in the same way that you're tempted. Nothing surprising, nothing unusual. But God is providing a way of escape in each time. And I know what that's like. I've experienced that throughout my whole saved life. I know when the Lord is prompting for me, it doesn't matter what everybody else thinks or what everybody else says or what the consequences are going to be.
Amen.
I have to follow the Lord. And so I believe that's, and so we could go further. We won't do that right now, but just to say, I believe that this message to Israel is also an example to us of how, as an individual, we should live and not be overcome. We remember when, like coming out of Egypt, we could not save ourselves. God saved us and pulled us out of Egypt. But now, we are in the wilderness, or even having gone into the promised land, there were battles to be fought. Some people say, well, the promised land is like heaven. No. Why were they fighting battles in the promised land? It's an example of the Christian life, the Christian walk. There are battles to be fought. And so God's provision through the wilderness is verses back to Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 7 through 14. Now, essentially, verse 7 through 8, we covered, we're talking about, remember the punishment in the Tower of Babel. It's talking about the separation of the people. And that goes back to the Tower of Babel. And people were separated into the different nations. And verse 9, the covenant that God made with his people. Verse 11, take Israel out of Egypt. Verse 12, the journeys in the wilderness. Verse 13, the conquest of Canaan. That they had 31 victories out of 31 battles. But remember, Ai was a failure at first, but they corrected that and went on. And there, that's talking about like an individual person in Israel made that much difference to their success. That was Achan. Achan had hid some of the plunder, and they were not supposed to have taken any of that plunder. And he went and took some of it and hid it in his tent. Don't be hiding sin in your heart. God will... If you're a believer, God will be pressing you on that, and you can't mature beyond that. Let's deal with that so you can mature beyond. So, I do want to emphasize, I wasn't going to read, but let's read that again. We read it last time, but verse 8. So, when the Most High, and so it's saying, you know, ask your fathers and ask your elders. They'll tell you. Verse 8, when the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam and set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. And so that happened at the Tower of Babel. And so we're kind of seeing a progression here. Things that have happened in the past, the book of Genesis, the book of Exodus, the book of Numbers, through the wilderness, and then now this third point, so, pardon me, that was the third point, God's provision through the wilderness. Now, the fourth point that we didn't cover was God's, or Israel's unfaithful idolatry. And so that covers the books of Judges, the books of Kings and Chronicles. And that's starting verse 15. But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. And that Jeshurun is Israel. Then he forsook God, which made him and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God. The gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and thou hast forgotten God that formed thee. And so, yes, they when they had prosperity, when they were in the land of Canaan and were living in houses that they had not built and they were eating of the fields that they had not planted, then they started getting complacent. And so we as believers in your Christian life, you can become complacent. You know, the busyness of the day and the busyness of life can overwhelm us sometimes. And we can sometimes forget our first love. We got saved. We recognized salvation. Sometimes things can be dry in our lives. And yet God is able to refresh us. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful and hast forgotten God that formed thee. And so Israel, who was not part of that division at the Tower of Babel, they were a nation that was created by God for a specific purpose, and that was to prove God's faithfulness. And so, and to also be an example to believers of what a believer should be and the difficulties that we go through. If you find yourself reading the Old Testament and just saying, oh, those Israelites, they're so bad, such bad, that's fingers pointing back at me. That's the whole point. That's the whole purpose. And so here, even Moses himself cannot go in. And that's the last verses of this chapter, verses 20 or 44 and following. If you look right to the verse 48, and the Lord spake unto Moses the selfsame day, saying, get thee up into this mountain, Abiram, unto Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, that is over against Jericho, and behold the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel for a possession, and die in the mount whither thou goest up, and be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother died in Mount Hor, and was gathered unto his people, because ye trespassed against thee among the children of Israel at the waters of Meribah Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin, because ye sanctified me not in the mind of the children of Israel. Yet thou shalt see the land before thee, but thou shalt not go hither into the land which I give to the children of Israel. And so that land is a picture of the Christian life, battles to be won yet, but he was not allowed to go in yet. Caleb and Joshua were assigned to go in, and they were similar age. So anyway, yes, he died before went into Canaan land. And so here we see this fourth point, Israel's unfaithfulness and idolatry. And the fifth point here, verses 19 through 29. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from thee. I will see what their end shall be. For they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities, and I will move them, he's saying, I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people, and I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. And we've covered that, like Brother Arlen has been going through Romans, and they are, we've gone through those passages where now the mystery of God that was a mystery from the foundation of the world has been revealed and has been given to the church as a, has been given to the Gentiles, I should say, and to be in charge of. And Israel is jealous of the church having that. Pardon me, I'm saying the church. Church includes both the Jews and the Gentiles. But the Gentiles, it's been handed over to the Gentiles. And now we are told not to be arrogant as Gentiles. It's in Romans chapter 11. And so we're not to be high-minded. Verse 20, well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith, but or be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shalt be cut off. Talking about our possessions are as a the it's not believers being unsaved losing their eternal life. It's talking about the Gentiles, the nations, the foolish nations that the mystery of God, the gospel was given to handle, has become an object of where Israel is jealous of the Gentiles having that now. And verse 23, and they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, but shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut off of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to the nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which by the natural branch, be of the natural branch, be grafted into their own olive tree? And so, this is getting into a lot. We've covered a lot of this before. But because of Israel's unfaithfulness and idolatry, it's what was given to them to be in charge of. And that was the oracles of God, the written word of God, also the ceremonial aspect of worshiping God. Those now have been handed over to the Gentiles, and that is the ministry of even a Jewish man like the Apostle Paul, Jewish, and yet he's pointing out in Romans chapter 11, verse 25, for I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so what is this mystery? Romans 16, 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. And that's talking about the preaching of Jesus Christ, preaching the gospel. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7 says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. The wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden mystery. And so that is the gospel of Christ. Now the natural man receiveth not the things of God. 1 Corinthians 2:14. But in 13 and 14, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And so the mystery that was from the beginning, from when seed of the woman was promised to Adam and Eve, that was a mystery all through the Old Testament. And it was revealed in Christ. And that responsibility to carry that gospel was given over to the Gentiles. And so now we have Israel being jealous of that. And and they will be grafted in again. But that will be during the tribulation. But for the time being, for us, we are given this ministry of reconciliation to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. And so it's going to be part number 5 next time, because we still didn't get through Deuteronomy 32. So I do apologize for not being well versed. You know, people that are really well versed in a subject matter, they can really condense things down into very simple points. And but bear with me, I pray that you will. We are looking for a pastor. But in the meantime, God is providing. And it's His Word. The communication here is that Deuteronomy 32 is telling us that in a song, which I should point out, our hymns are not just an add-on. They are part of our worship. They are our worship. Our hymns and psalms and spiritual songs, praising God with making melody in our hearts. And so His Word is so great that Deuteronomy 32 is a prophecy. The skeptics say, well, chapter 32 had to have been written after they had come out of, after they had had their conflicts in Canaan. Why do they say that? Because it's a prophecy. And so too, they say the same thing about Daniel. Well, that must have been written after the Grecian Empire, and after the Medo-Persians, and after the Grecians, because it's talking about that. Well, yeah, it's talking about, well, same with Isaiah, talking about Cyrus by name before he was ever born, 150 or so years before he was born. So the skeptics go, well, it looks like that was written 3,500 years ago, but it couldn't have been, because it's true. About the future. And so it's exciting. I mean, I'm learning more and more about this as I go on. And it's exciting to see that God's Word is so true. And even now, as we are going through some things, and things that happened in my life when I was in high school, like the Yom Kippur War, I would say it's kind of similar to what it is today, where people go, Christ is going to return. And it's the end times. And you know what? What was happening then, people have grown cold to. And accepting of the globalist agenda. And now something like this pops up. And I go, oh, wow. Well, that's... No. We're excited about it now. If you're not in God's Word, you will not be sensitive to God's mercy in that, yes, as time is going on, it is getting fulfilled to the letter. Even more, you could not have, well, we won't get into that right now, but You could not get into the detail that this has been foretelling, to where after it passes, you go, oh, it's just commonplace. It's just common knowledge. And people get cold to the Word of God. Don't get cold to the Word of God. Understand that God is more merciful than we are. Remember when Jonah was upset when God didn't destroy Nineveh? There was a condition attached to it. And I'll tell you, God is extending his mercy in this old world. And so things that look like his soon return, and it does. It does. And that's how it's been ever since the first century church. They were waiting for Christ's return. When they saw the destruction of the temple in 70 AD, oh, surely this, you know, did Christ return already? And so they were set at ease that no, he hadn't returned yet, because all these things have not been fulfilled. And so we're seeing God's mercy extended. Wow. And yet, don't get cold. Don't get cold to the Word of God. All right. Let's just bow for a word of prayer. Dear God, we just thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for this song of Moses. It's the second song of Moses that we're aware of. And one, just total victory and just praising thee for the victory. Second song here, talking about idolatry that they would fall into. Well, what? Well, we can take that to heart. Some people get saved and are just excited. Well, everyone that gets saved gets excited. But then we find out that you want to work in us and through us. You want to deal with our heart issue. It's not the issues that are around us on the outside of us. It's what you say, it's from within, out of the heart of man proceed all these evil things. It's the battle that's going in each individual heart, dear God, that you care about. And that means you care about us, each one, as individuals. And we praise thy holy name. The fact that you're far greater than any computer. You know all of our health issues and all of our physical issues, but you know our very thoughts, and you care for us, and you can direct us if we let you, if we allow you. And so we praise thy holy name this day, dear God. All honor and glory to thee, and to the edification of the church, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.